Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the FPL podcast by Fantasy Football Hub. Game week 5 saw the long-awaited points from popular game week 1 assets such as Werner and Foden, saw Liverpool defensive talisman Virgil van Dijk crocked potentially for the season, but also underlined the prospects of a few teams, including another good defensive performance from Aston Villa and another attacking masterclass for 15 minutes at least from Tottenham. My name is Andrew. I'm joined as usual by two of the best FPL managers in the game, former third place finisher Andy Green. Andy, how was your game week?
I knew you were going to ask me that first. well, I didn't. I only had one half of the Son Kane double up, so a bit disappointing from that perspective, but happy to finish on 67 for the week. And I can rectify those mistakes going forward.
We'll take a look at your team a bit later on. And we also have six-time top 10K finisher and Aston Villa fan, Adam Hopcroft. Adam, Villa are the toast of FPL and the Premier League at the moment. Can they keep it going?
Well, I hope so, because we've got the chance to make history on Friday. I think if we can go top of the league, that would be, you know, incredible from having just survived last season. So honestly, can't wait for Friday.
Another Leicester on the cards potentially from 2016, who knows?
Well, I'm not getting that carried away.
welcome to any new watchers and listeners. For our YouTube watchers, if you haven't subscribed yet, please press the subscribe button in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen to ensure you don't miss anything. Also, please press the like button if you enjoy our content. Don't forget to download our new free app, which includes everything our website offers. Just search Fantasy Football Hub from wherever you get your apps. So this week, our hot topics from our FPL Twitter following are what to do with Liverpool defenders, who are the best Aston Villa options, and who are the best three heavy hitters to own. We'll also answer some questions from our Twitter at FFH Podcast followers, share our plans for the coming game week, review one of our Twitter followers' teams, and take a quick look at the top of the at FFH underscore podcast mini league. So following the sad and possibly even season-ending injury to Virgil van Dijk, we had lots of questions this week around the Liverpool defence going forward, including from Angelo. Will TAA and Robertson give lesser FPL returns with them being more fearful to move forward without VVD at the back? Como Callahan, the Hub Opster stats, top 20 players below 7.9 million, no Liverpool defensive asset. Is it time to go crap at the back and pump the money up front until we start to see defensive solidity return? And we should have had that as one of the sections, shouldn't we? Crap at the back. at Cuba FPL, what's your take on Liverpool going forward? Double attack, double defence, or Matip due to price? And at Addy K, is it time to consider ditching Liverpool defence and go in heavy on attack? So, Andy, if I can come to you first, what are your thoughts on the Liverpool defence going forward?
No, I think Alisson and Virgil van Dijk being out are obviously a huge blow. You can see it in their stats so far this season. Liverpool have conceded 13 big chances. That's kind of up there with Fulham and West Brom, or rather down there. But I think we do need to kind of, you know, take a step back from the start we've seen this season. There's an article in The Athletic today talking about the NPXG this season. So the NPXG this season so far is 147 goals from an XG of 113.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's an incredible outperformance of the XG stat. So either what we're saying here is that football has changed and changed for good, or there's going to be some regression here. So, you know, it's kind of an overall statement, not just about the Liverpool defence, but ultimately, I think we are going to see some regression in terms of, you know, the sheer volume and number of goals being scored. Now, that doesn't mean that Liverpool defence is going to turn into, you know, the solid unit we saw last season. And last season, I think they actually outperformed their defensive stats anyway. They got quite lucky with some great saves and last minute clearances. But, you know, I do think that this kind of, you know, heavy goal scoring is not, you know, an outperformance of XG is not going to continue, although it's not going to be a sudden snapback. You know, we're going to go back to like a bunch of nil nils and one nils. Going on to the actual question, which is Liverpool defenders. Well, you know, like many, I built a wild card team, and you're certainly looking, basis where the points are being scored, you're really looking at utilizing those funds, because let's be honest, most of us are, you know, if you've got Van Dijk, it's an easy out anyway because he's injured. But, you know, with that sort of heavy budget at the back, and players like Kane performing, Son performing, Salah performing, even Mane performing, plus the likes of Aguero coming back, KDB probably back pretty soon, you really are looking at your team thinking, why have I got, you know, 7 mil plus sitting in this defensive unit that's not really generating any clean sheets, and it's not generating significant attacking returns outside of the occasional Robertson assist. So, of course, they're good assets throughout the season, but in the short term, I think if you're on a wild card, you're certainly looking at removing them. I would be hesitant to take a hit to remove them. I think you can do it over time until the time you think that that defence is starting to, you know, post some better numbers and looking better on the eye test. But for now, I think it's an easy switch out, but I wouldn't be taking a hit to switch them out. And I do feel that this season is kind of going to normalise to its XG in the next three or four weeks, I think.
So just looking at the next few fixtures, obviously, you know, they've got a really nice fixture this weekend going to Sheffield United. And I noticed that everyone is kind of saying that their next two are nice, but their one after that is home to West Ham. Now, I would put my house on West Ham scoring against Liverpool, and after that, yeah, they've got Man City. So I think this weekend, for me, you know, in terms of taking the players out and when to do it, I would keep them for this weekend. But after that, West Ham have scored 10 goals in the last three against Wolves, against Spurs. You know, they're scoring goals. They've got so much attacking talent up front, and even though they only drew with Spurs last weekend, I think the fact they came back literally from the death and scored in the last 6 seconds of the game will give them a massive boost going in.
I agree with you on this. I think timing is key. Don't take them out this weekend. Sheffield United looked fairly blunt to me, and one of the teams that you're more likely to get a clean sheet on. And what you said about West Ham is completely true. Where West Ham are fairly good is bunging crosses into the box. If you look at all the goals against Spurs, they all come from crosses. And without Van Dijk and without potentially Alisson for that game, I would agree with you that West Ham will score. And I've been fairly good away from home, actually. And, I agree with you on that. I think where I stand on it is I think you've got to look at, firstly, Alisson isn't too far away, so that'll hopefully resolve that problem. And I do think they'll be more vulnerable from set pieces and crosses without Van Dijk. We saw that against Everton. But I think looking at the two main assets, Trent and Robbo, I think you've got two different scenarios here. Robertson post-lockdown when Liverpool were partying or, you know, whatever. Actually they wouldn't have been that bothered about defending. So he's got 12 returns in 13 games. So I think he's got 2 goals and 7 assists. That's incredible. He's going to get attacking returns. And Liverpool, whilst they might not keep the same amount of clean sheets, they're going to keep some clean sheets. There's no, you know, and so therefore, you know, they might get an extra in a 10-game spell. They might get an extra 3 or 4 clean sheets plus the assist potential. Trent is a different story. I think losing corner kicks, or the volume of corners anyway, from the one side, not having VVD to aim at from those corners is another factor, because he used to get a lot of assists for Van Dijk. I think in open play, he just hasn't looked himself. And I think his stats haven't been great post-lockdown again. I think he's got... What's he got? 2 goals and 2 assists. I think both the goals were free kicks. So he's got 2 goals and 2 assists in 14 games. So for me, for £500,000 less, Robertson is by far the better option. I think the interesting way of looking at this is in isolation, I think Robertson would probably be the top scoring defender. Incredible pick. But I posted something on Twitter earlier. What you've got to think about is the combination. So I've looked at if you could have one forward, one midfielder and a defender for £22.5 million, which is, I think, 3/11 of your budget, so of your playing budget. So if you were going to pick that, who would you go for? And it was really interesting, the responses, because very few people picked Robertson. And I sort of did prompt that in the message that I put out. A lot of people were looking at combinations. I think there was things like Chilwell, Bruno, Watkins. There were cheaper defenders and people were pushing the money further forward. I think there's a strong case to do that. I think you could, you know, the other ways you could have like 3-7 million-ish, you know, go like Robbo, Grealish and I don't know, Calvin or whatever it would be. I think that's completely viable. So I just think it's team dependent. I think he will do well. You know, it's just how you use that budget and how you want to. I think if you go for the more expensive forward or midfielder, like say someone like Bruno or Aguero, possibly, or Werner, you've got an extra captaincy option. So I think there's a big plus there, but I think there's merits in, you know, there are merits in keeping him. I think if you've got a double up, you're probably not going to ditch both straight away. I would ditch Trent, but not doing it this week. So that's where I stand on the moment, at the moment.
Yeah, I think probably people, given that we've seen the resurgence, or I don't know if you can call it a resurgence, but the rise of Aston Villa this season. And, you know, we've seen obviously players like Aguero come back, De Bruyne's going to come back. People probably have different priorities, I would say. You know, one might be raising funds, which is obvious. You know, you can go from like the 7.5 million price point. But, you know, I certainly wouldn't be taking a hit to take any of these players out. We're still talking about players that, you know, have an XA north of 0.2 and, you know, per game. And, you know, they've obviously got a goal threat there. So, you know, I think that obviously you're going to be looking at raising funds to get in some of these more premium assets further forward, as we talked about at the start of the season. But, you know, I wouldn't be in any rush to start taking hits to get these players out. Wildcard, obviously, is a different matter.
I think there has been an emergence of some really good, cheaper defenders, which is probably another factor, which means that if you were looking at that 22.5 million budget for three players, you can put more money further forward. You mentioned on our chat, group chat earlier about Creswell in a couple of weeks. Brilliant option, created the most chances out of all defenders, 12 this season. And, you know, I think he's got three assists in two games. And because of the amount of crosses they pump in, he's going to get a lot of assists. So I think that's an incredible option. I think Chilwell's looked very good. We're going to talk about Villa. And I think their defenders, Konsa is a huge set piece threat. Mings is decent as well, and they've got Villa have got good fixtures. So I think there are some cheap options, which means you can throw money further forwards. But the reality is that any combination, if you've got, as long as you look at it as a combination, I think you can do well by either keeping Robbo or completely going without. I probably wouldn't have a double up. I think 14.5 million for the two guys is too much, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. So I've got the both at the moment. And, you know, obviously for this match on the weekend, I'm happy to leave them in, but I will very, very likely move Trent off, you know. And as we've said, it's not just about moving them on for just another cheap player. I'll be looking ahead to kind of, you know, game week 8, 9 and 10. Whose fixtures are really turning, you know, around that time? Who I can jump on early? You know, I'm not going to be really looking at players like Lamptey, or ones that we've been talking about for most of the season. I'm going to be trying to look at the fixtures and the next one. So, you know, you mentioned Konsa, I think, is a really good option. Mm-hmm. Like Villa's fixtures for the next 10 or 11 weeks are just incredible, especially their home ones, and Creswell for West Ham as well. Their fixtures are their home fixtures again are superb as well. So I'm going to be probably, as you say, looking at those, and then pushing the funds into midfield, pushing them up front, because Man City's run from game week 10 is looking absolutely beautiful. So they've got
great
from 10. They've got their home to Burnley, home to Fulham, then they're away to Man United, and then they're home again. So they've got three home in four. Now, we're going to be wanting to look at De Bruyne, potentially Sterling, maybe even Aguero. To afford all these guys, we need to make sacrifices in the team. So
I think there was another defender that I hadn't seen mentioned much, which came up today, and that's Diaz at City. And I think he could be a really good option, because with it being right-footed, I don't think he's probably most likely to play every match. And I do see City keeping more clean sheets this season. So I think he could be, and particularly when you've mentioned those fixtures. So there are some really nice options emerging in defence, I think.
It's crazy that, I mean, a lot of people talk about this crazy start to the season, but we talk about defences. Man City, Liverpool and Man United are in the worst five defences for big chances conceded. I mean, you know, that's simply not going to be the case come the end of the season, right?
It's not. And you made a really good point about things going to normal and the huge overperformance of XG. I think usually when the Champions League kicks in, you do tend to get a little bit of normality. So I don't think, and we saw a few more clean sheets the weekend. So I don't think we'll continue having, you know, 10 goal thrillers or anything like that.
Yeah, on Monday evening there was a 0-0 and a 1-0, wasn't there? It was a minute away from being two 0-0s. It was a very strange evening. A thing I just touch on finally, just on this as well, is, and I only know this really because I play other formats you know, other fancy forms, which include the Champions League. But last season, Liverpool, I'm pretty sure, only kept two clean sheets in their first sort of like 18 or 19 games, including Europe as well. So, you know, and look where they ended up, right? So I would just say, you know, over a season, you know, I wouldn't be like, right, let's get rid of Robertson Trent now for the season, you know, and completely plot to leave them out, whereby there will be a time, you know, to get them in again, where, you know, when we get a bit of normality back, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so moving on then, and with Aston Villa playing like Real Madrid since lockdown, our second topic asks the question, who are the best Aston Villa options? So for this, we had questions from at FPL Baba Yaga. Hope you're all well. Big fan of McGinn at 5.5. He's a better prospect than his pricier teammates. Would you recommend to continue with McGinn or move to Barkley or Grealish? Question from Dhiraj Pandey. Double up on Villa defence. At Shivaras PL asks, how sure is Adam Hopcroft when he says Barkley will be on pens? And FPL Lion said, discuss Villa's run of next fixtures. So obviously, Adam, I'm going to come to you on this one first. Talk us through Villa and, you know, how do we maximise their incredible form?
So you're right. The fixtures are absolutely brilliant coming up. And post-lockdown, I think particularly the last four game weeks, we've conceded four goals in eight games. We've kept five clean sheets in that time. It's been brilliant. And I think there's been some key reasons why, and I think it's got even better this season. We strengthened in our weakest areas. I think Konsa and Mings are an incredible partnership. A lot of people talk about Mings, but Konsa as a player has really, really come on. And, you know, I think they've been really, really key to our defensive performance. Douglas Luiz going into that holding midfielder role, the work that he does is incredible. We then, I think our fullbacks, you know, targets improved. And I think, you know, Matty Cash coming in has been brilliant. And then topping it off, signing Martinez was huge. So I think defensively, we're really strong. I think you've got a few options. So I think a lot of people have gone for the goalkeeper. I think Martinez is a great shout, probably the best set and forget, particularly at his price. So can't knock that. Villa aren't conceding many chances. A lot of the shots they were conceding, particularly against Leicester, out of the box. So they're great for save points. And if you look at Martinez for Arsenal last season, he had a very strong save percentage. He's continued that with Villa. So I think Emi Martinez is a great option. I get a lot of people asking me about the actual Villa defenders. I think the two that you probably look at are Target and Konsa. Target is on some set pieces. He needs to get away from those set pieces. He's dreadful. It's only the fact he's one of the few left footers on the pitch. But, I mean, he's had a couple of shots from free kicks. Oh, he, I'd do better with my left foot. That's how bad he is. But I think with Hourihane not playing because of Barkley coming in, set pieces we probably need to look at and, you know, who's best suited to take them. And McGinn's taking a few corners as well. So for me, Konsa's the better option than Target, partly because Target is a little bit more injury prone. But I just think set pieces we've been so good at. And I think Konsa, he's not particularly big, but he gets into some very good positions. He scored against, you know, I think he's got two goals in the last eight games. He should have scored that header against Leicester. So I would go with Konsa. The person in the chat that mentioned McGinn is right to do so. He struggled at the end of last season because he had such a long layoff from injury, but he's making up for it now. I think he's been the unsung hero for me. He's been absolutely outstanding. And he set four goals already this season. He's, you know, he scored against Liverpool. He's been brilliant for Scotland. I think at his price, I think he'll be involved in goals. And I think he's, I think he's a good option. I think if I look at others at that price anyway, Podence, St. Maximin, McGinn will play 90 minutes every week on some set pieces. He'll be involved in goals as well. So I do like the McGinn show. I think if you've got the budget, I'd probably just go to Barkley if you can. But if not, McGinn is a fine show. Penalties were mentioned. I get asked this question a lot. There's a reason I think Barkley's on penalties. I think what I would do is I'd quote Greg Evans. If you don't follow him, it will be Grealish if he wants them. But it could, but he also mentioned Barkley as well. I think it will be Barkley. And the reason I think this is Villa have had a lot of penalties during the time that Grealish has been in the team. He's only taken one of them. During that time, we have had loads of, we've had Codger take penalties, we've had Tammy Abraham, we've even had Glenn Whelan take them. And Grealish has only put himself forward once, and he only took one of three last season. So I'm not sure how forceful he'll be to get the ball. And I think if there's other players that fancy it, he might let them have it. There were, when we had the penalty, which was reversed against Crystal Palace, it was Conor Hourihan who had the ball. So I that makes me think that it may not be Grealish. I think if he wants them, then he's, you know, he will have the ultimate decision. So it'll come down to how much he fancies it. Looking at Barkley, the reason I think it could be Barkley is, I think it was last pre-season or the pre-season prior to that, he was in a Chelsea team with some very dominant penalty takers, Jorginho, Willian was another one as well. And he took quite a few, he took a few in the pre-season, and then Chelsea had a penalty in the Champions League, and I think Barkley forced himself to take it. I think he ended up missing it, hitting the post or having it saved. But you know, he clearly wanted it. We've seen it recently with Richarlison wanting penalties. He grabbed that ball. Nobody else was taking it. So that's the reason I think it's Barkley. But the honest answer, the honest view of it is we just don't know. I mean, there hasn't been... I'm just giving you the evidence of Grealish not fancying penalties in the past and Barkley fancying them. Watkins has taken four in his career and missed three, so hopefully he'll stay well away from them. I think Villa are good bet to invest in defensively. We've talked about Watkins last week. I think, you know, I never really fancied the Leicester fixture, which I mentioned last week. I think from now on, Villa are great to invest in. Leeds have got a few players out. For me, the, you know, I think defensively go for it. I would encourage a triple up because I think they're just great value across the pitch. If I was tripling up, I would go for either Konsa or Martinez as one option. And then I would go Grealish and Watkins. I just want to mention something on Grealish because I think for me, he has been unbelievable this year. He's taken his game up a level even more. I think having seen most of the games so far, I think he's been the second best player in the league behind Kane. I think he's been that good. And his performance against Liverpool was the nutmeg on Van Dijk and how he created a lot of the chances. It was just world-class. And I'm running out of superlatives to describe him, but for me, I think I expect big things from him against the game against Leeds, because I think with Phillips out, and I think also how Leeds play, they tend to go man for man when they're pressing. That's perfect for Grealish because he's used to having three players on. You saw what Leicester did; they had three players on him a lot of the time. They had Castagne, and then there'd be others. You know, you always look at the stills, and he's just surrounded. So I think he'll get more space, and you know, sadly, I won't be owning him, but I'll be the happiest person in the FPL community, probably with a few of the other Villa fans, if he hauls and we win on Friday night. So that's just a bit of an overview on my thoughts on Villa.
You must be on cloud nine, Adam. Fair play.
Completely.
Andy, so after Adam's very, very brief overview, as he called, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much there is left for us, but have you got anything to add there?
Well, I mean, only from a non-Villa expert, I guess, point of view. I mean, I've certainly been playing around with Villa assets in my trial. I've started doing wildcard drafts, which is always dangerous because it's like you're heading in that direction. So 2 points I've been looking at is Grealish versus Barkley. Clearly the form team right now. There's obviously a 1.3 million difference in price. Yeah, they're actually posting some fairly similar stats in terms of goal threats. So they both had, you know, per appearance, the same number of shots. Barkley slightly ahead on shots on target. So in terms of pure goal threat, I think they're fairly similar. I agree with Adam. I think I've just got a feeling that Grealish hasn't really stepped up on penalties. So I think it might be, you know, Barkley seems like that sort of player that would have the confidence to do so. So I feel he may be on penalties. The one area where Grealish is significantly ahead of Barkley is on assist potential. So if you're looking for kind of the more all-rounded fantasy asset, you've got to pay 1.3 million more for it at current prices. But, you know, he does offer that that assist threat that Barkley doesn't really have in his game as yet. And the other thing I was looking at, you know, I see, Andrew, I know you did bring him in last week. Watkins is on a lot of teams that I see. And it's not that I'm not a fan of Watkins. You know, I liked him in the Championship as well. I just feel that there are better assets out there. Now, the two I'd be looking at One is Antonio with that fixture shift out of game week 8. You know, he's posting some amazing numbers. You know, the highest, one of the highest shots per appearance out there this season so far. And obviously, you've got amazing fixtures. And we have Mope in there as well with 18 shots so far this season. And he's obviously on pens as well. So, you know, just purely in terms of looking at stats and some of the fixtures, I actually do prefer Antonio and Mope at similar-ish price points. You know, Watkins is now 6, Antonio 6.3, and Mope is at 6.6. So I guess what I'm saying is, if I'm looking at a wild card team or, you know, my ideal team, I probably don't have Watkins in it. I probably have one of Grealish or Barkley, and it would probably be Barkley.
Okay, and Adam, Grealish or Barkley as your ideal FPL asset?
I think, well, I could bring in Barkley for Foden this week, and I don't really want to do it. So I think that probably says I'm in the Grealish camp. I think the motivation, the form and everything, my concern was he wasn't going to score enough goals. And it may be the absolute end product in terms of goals and assists. He needed to step it up a level, and I think he's done that already at the start of the season. So, I'm not definitely not backing against Grealish.
I think that's fair. And looking back to last year, I don't know whether this is just a bit of nostalgia, but it just seemed to me that every time Aston Villa scored, it would always be Grealish. You know, it'd be Aston Villa Grealish. It's like Man United at the moment. You know, if you check notification on your phone, it's normally Fernandes. You know, if you check Liverpool, it's normally Salah, and that's how it was with Villa and Grealish. If Villa scored, you knew it was Grealish, and I think that kind of plays a part as well. I agree with you, Adam. He's playing absolutely incredible football at 7.2. You know, with the fixtures they have got ahead of them as well. You know, he's the better player out of, you know, Barkley, McGinn, Watkins. You know, if he can just turn his chances, you know, a little bit more into goals and FPL points, which I'm sure he will, which is upcoming. I think he could be an absolute steal over the next kind of 8 or 9 game weeks. So
I guess the answer really feeds into your next question there, which is, you know, which heavy hitters do you own and where does your budget get spent?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think because you can't have everybody, can you? I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, go for Grealish, but if you haven't got the funds and you've only got 6 million available, Barkley's fine as well.
What a segue to our...
That's good, yeah, that's good, isn't it?
What a segue to our final topic of the evening. So with us talking about taking money out of defence and bringing in cheap Villa assets, our final topic is where to spend this additional budget by asking which three big hitters should be looking to have in our teams for the coming game week. So for our YouTube viewers, we're showing a graphic from our OptiStats tool filtering on all players at 10 million or over by points scored currently, which shows Kane at the top on 60 points, Salah on 48, Vardy on 34, Mane 31, Bruno Fernandes 31, Sterling 27, Aubameyang 18, De Bruyne 17, and Aguero 2. Aguero, incidentally, I believe, has just scored a penalty for Manchester City in the Champions League. I'm glad De Bruyne is not on the pitch, Adam.
Otherwise... I know, exactly. I was going to say that,
Ken. Otherwise, I would have lost a point there. But,
I don't think we said that, did we? Did we just say we'd take the next penalty?
I need to go
to VAR on this one.
I'm the producer, mate. I am VAR on this. Don't worry about that. And we also have a graphic showing teams filtered by XG since the start of the season, which shows Liverpool are top with 13, Spurs 13, Everton 10, Chelsea 9.6. And we go all the way down, very interestingly, I think 11th is Man United on 7.3. And Manchester City have got an XG of just 6.8 in 4 games, which is an average of 1.5 per game, which for Man City standards, which are normally around the 3 mark, is incredibly low. So with all this information and stats in mind, Andy, I come to you first. So which are the three go-to big hitters that you're targeting for the coming game weeks?
Yeah, this is one of the easiest questions I think I've ever been asked on this podcast, because...
Need to make it harder next week.
please do. We have, the two standout players this year and probably the standout player FPL asset for the last 3 years coming back. So for me, it would be Salah, Kane and Aguero. This is kind of, you know, assuming that your budget allows or you're on a wild card and you can pick these three. You know, where do we start? Salah, Kane, both have had 25 shots on 11 and 13 on target this season so far. You know, Kane does look back to his best. I, I, I was in the camp of, oh, he's definitely, you know, transitioning into a kind of more Wayne Rooney style defensive midfielder, but I'm willing to admit I'm wrong. And we'll talk about teams later on. But, you know, I think he not only is Spurs look a bit rejuvenated, but they certainly Kane looks like he's got an extra, whether he needed that break. I know he's playing a lot of games right now. I probably don't think he's going to start in the Europa League, but he'll be on the bench. But certainly I think that break helped him. Nevertheless, what we're dealing with, Harry Kane of old, which is great for Spurs, great for England. So he would definitely be in the premium assets. He's got form on his side. Salah, you know, posting some of the best NPXG, and obviously he's on pens as well. You know, his XG, including pens, is 3.9, which is the league. It's third in the league behind Calvert-Lewin and Kane. I think he's actually top for attempts in the box this season, 19 attempts this season. So, you know, the stats speak for themselves. These players both pass the eye test with flying colours. They're both, you know, playing, you know, you mentioned Liverpool and Spurs being the top two teams for XG. So the stats back that up as well. And the third player I mentioned is, of course, Sergio Aguero. So, you know, clearly his stats look on a relative basis poor to what I've just described here. But, you know, this is what we talk about this season potentially normalising. And I firmly expect Aguero to be in the top five per game, you know, points per game strikers for this season. I'm not saying he's going to start every game, of course not, when Jesus is back. And there's obviously the option of Sterling playing in that role. So, yeah, I mean, I expect Man City to bounce back and I expect Aguero to bounce back. He's going to be on pens when De Bruyne is not on the pitch.
I'm on a yes as well.
So, yeah, so I think for me, those are the three standout assets. I know Aguero has not got the form, but he's just scored tonight, if it's a penalty. And I think he's a player that you can't really, you know, dismiss as a potential captaincy option as well.
Just quickly, Andy, if you were wildcarding today, then are they the three that would definitely be in your team?
Yeah, I've got it right here. I'll send it. Perfect.
So
yeah, so you don't need to provide evidence. I'll take your word for it.
So looking,
yeah, I mean, I was very tempted to pull the trigger, but I'm glad I didn't know that players are. You know, last week, but now that I know that, I was surprised to see Aguero thrown straight in and he's playing again tonight. So the risk with Aguero, and I will admit this, is that without Jesus there, he's not guaranteed, certainly probably not going to play 90 minutes. I would imagine he'd be sort of averaging 60, 70, but I would take 60, 70 minutes of Aguero over any other striker other than
yeah, Jordan. I'd agree with that.
I think the question I'd have for you then, Andy, so looking forward a bit more now to maybe game weeks 9 and 10, you know, which aren't that far away. Are you saying that you wouldn't have De Bruyne or Bruno Fernandes?
Well, Bruno Fernandes, I mean, you know, quite an incredible last two games, really. No, I mean, you know, I've got other heavy hits. I'll just run through some of the names I've got in the wildcard team. So they would be Calvert-Lewin, Aguero and Kane up front. So you've got Calvert-Lewin as somewhat of an enabler there. And then in the midfield, I've got Salah, Son, Pulisic and Trossard. So, you know, of course, I don't have, you can't have every premium asset. But if, for example, De Bruyne or Fernandes really hits a streak of hot form, then I could switch that around and bring in, you know, one of those players for Salah or take a use two free transfers to take out one of the premium assets up front. But no, so I'm not, you know, saying that these would be season keepers. I'm just saying that currently, as it stands, these are the three top premiums for me. Okay. And you know that, you know, the likes of Son in there, I wouldn't even class him as a premium asset, you know, at 9.1 million, whatever he is. He's kind of, you know, reasonably priced to enable, you know, those kind of three expensive premiums.
I think having seen your team and listened to what you've just said in terms of your attacking seven players, I would be pressing that wild card button. Get on Aguero first.
That is
a good opportunity. Ahead. Yeah,
If you'd done that with Kane, you'd be flying.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think I do think like last week would have been a great week to wildcard. I very nearly did. Instead, I went with the 8 points and you know, hit. But I think it was targeting Kane and Son, and that was the reason. So I think maybe doing it, was it game week 10, City's fixtures get brilliant? It might even be a little bit earlier, so there could be opportunities there. What about yourself then, Andrew? Who would be your three?
So my three, so I've got only one of them already. So I've got Bruno Fernandes. So I saw a stat this afternoon on Twitter, which so when he joined Man United in game week 25, he has scored the most FPL points out of any player since that time. And you can feel that, can't you, in just the way that he just continues to tick over all the time. I thought he was actually very unlucky on the weekend. You know, I know he got that late assist. It's probably, you know, a bit padded the score a little bit, but you know, he obviously scored a really good goal, which was disallowed. He missed a penalty. You know, whether you say that that's unlucky or not, you bring him in because part of it, you know, well, a major part of his benefits, you know, is the fact he's on penalty. So he could quite easily have had, you know, had a hat trick. He's hauled against Brighton when he shouldn't have, scored against Spurs when they got smashed 6-1. He's just always in the points. He even, you know, scored last night against Paris Saint-Germain. Missed the original one, but Bruno being Bruno gets another chance and puts the second one away. You know, he always finds a way.
So I agree with you on that. He definitely always finds a way. And I think, like, Solskjaer's already said that he's going to continue taking penalties. Yeah. So I think it was quite key that him taking the retake. I think he'll be continuing.
He's just, you know, it's very rare you see a player have, you know, of his, what kind of word to use, but he seems to be so invested in winning, and it's exactly what Man United need. They need someone who gets angry when they're losing, someone who's losing is not acceptable, you know, and he just seems to have that kind of attitude. And you can see him, can't you? You know, he was captain last night, and you can see that Ollie has probably looked at him and go, he's the man. You know, I want you all to look up to him, and I want you to be like him in terms of attitude, because I think his attitude and mentality is a major, major part of why he's such a good footballer as well.
I think he needs to be captain of Man United as well, permanently. It would be a brave decision to do that, but I think, and it was nice last night, just digressing a little bit, to see Axel Tuanzebe coming in, and I thought he was outstanding against Mbappe, and you know, as a Villa fan, absolutely delighted to see him back. But it was it's a shame we couldn't get him on loan or take him off United. But it was really, I mean, that performance was sensational for him, considering he'd been out for such a long time. So you got Bruno. Who are you with for two then, Andrew?
So my other two. So I've got De Bruyne. You know, I know it's a bit early. He probably will be back next week. But I was, you know, thinking of the next 4 or 5 weeks, right? But De Bruyne, for me, you know, I said at the start of the season, I've seen nothing to convince me otherwise. I think you can captain De Bruyne or Bruno most weeks. I know De Bruyne blanked twice. You know, can you honestly see him blanking another twice? Because I can't. He's too good a footballer. Aguero is back. And I think he'll keep penalties. I would say that if Aguero takes the penalties off De Bruyne, I think Aguero will...
You'll be buying me a pint.
I will be buying you a pint. But I also think Aguero will be a better option than De Bruyne. I think, you know, I think those penalties are so important that, you know, I think Aguero will then be the better option. And the third one is, as much as I hate to say it, because I have called him over, and I still think he is overpriced, but for these next few games, Salah is just looking... Mm. He's, you know, he's one of those... He's scary not to own, you know, and I heard a really, really good piece of advice in pre-season. You know, I edit the articles on the Hub and put the work up on the Hub. And one of them, it was just like a golden rule. And the golden rule was, if you're scared of watching someone because you don't own him, get him. And, you know, and when I was reading it at the time, I was just a bit, oh, well, you know, it's fairly obvious. But it's not fairly obvious, because he is full-on sofa time. Salah at home to Sheffield United this weekend is behind the sofa time, and I really don't like it. And it's, you know, if he scored a hat trick, would I be surprised? Probably not. You know, I still think he's overpriced, but potentially not for these next two or three games. And I know he scored a couple against Villa. He only scored the one last weekend, you know, and so I still think overall, you know, I don't think he's a season keeper, but for these next few home games they've got, I think, you know, he is nailed on captaincy material. And if you don't have him and he hauls, you go flying down the ranks. So
that half volley finish, he's absolutely mastered that. Yeah. And it just, I think the one thing I'll say on Salah is that the goals that he scored, he's striking the ball, even the penalties, just striking the ball purely. The goals he scored against Everton, the first one against Villa and the one against Leeds, almost come out of nothing and very, almost half chances. And so he's, I think he's definitely worked. He seems to have worked on that. I don't think you can argue with Salah. I think that's sensible.
I think the only thing I would say opposing Kane, right? No, don't get me wrong. Kane is playing wonderfully well. Yeah. Form of his life, brilliant. But I don't think you need Kane and Son personally. They've been fantastic together at the moment. You know, their next couple of games are very good. But from game week 9 onwards, you know, because Kane assists Son and Son assists Kane 80% of the time, I think you can get away with the one. And obviously, Son, he takes up a midfield spot. He's 1.5 million less than Kane. I think you can get away. You know, I got away with it, you know, if you want to call it that, on the weekend, right? So I captained Son. I got 26 points. Kane captain's got 32. I mean, you know, it's, you know, and I had Werner, for example, covering Kane's Hall. I will have Bruno covering potentially Kane's Hall next week. You know what I mean? That's the way I kind of think about the Kane and Son. You know, and not, you know, it's up for argument, right? But
With Bale joining that and the amount of games they've got, Kane is going to play 90 every single week. Do you think Son might start getting 65, 70 minutes in some matches?
Well, that didn't work out very well for Mourinho when he subbed Son off.
I think Son, well, I know he subbed him off, but I think Son's, well, I wouldn't say he's his go-to man, but I think he's as important to Spurs as Kane is now. You know, he's just signing a massive deal to put him up alongside Kane, you know, in terms of salary and things. I can't see him not playing Son. He's just so important to the way they work, because he's the one now making all the runs, providing the space, stretching the defence. It's not Kane doing that, you know, it's Son who's doing that now. So if Kane gets the ball in the field on the centre circle, Son is the main man at the moment. You mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Adam, that his finishing is absolutely elite, best finisher in the Premier League. Why would you rest him, right? I know they've got...
It was never in doubt, was it, when he went through that he was going to score? He's such a good finisher.
And he makes it look so easy as well. So
yeah, I'd agree.
Anyway, Adam, on to your three.
Okay, this was fairly straightforward, actually. I think, number one, I looked at the players post-lockdown. Now, I get the fact it was a different season, but I think I like looking at it over a longer period of time for consistency of stats, and there's no fans. And I think from an attacking perspective, they've all been relatively motivated, whether it's Golden Boot or not. And there's three players that stood out because their attacking returns were more than the matches they've played. So let's start with, I think the first one to start with is Salah. You know, I've urged towards Mane, and I think the non-Pen XG does side with Mane. Yeah, however, what Salah has been very good at, it's not just the goal threat and penalties, it's the assist potential. So in the 13 matches post-lockdown, he's got 9 goals and 5 assists, so 14 returns in 13 matches. Can't argue with that. I think, you know, like you said, you haven't got the fear there. Yes, Mane could match him. And I currently own Mane and hope that is the case. And we're hoping to outscore him. But I think I've been impressed with Salah. He's been exceptional in the matches he's played so far. The next one is, I agree with you on Bruno. So what you said on Bruno is right. I don't think he's blanked in any away game for United. He's got 9 goals and 7 assists in 13 matches, last 13 matches. We can go, oh, yeah, but half of them are penalties, but United get loads of penalties.
That's why you pick him. That's one of the main reasons you pick him, right?
Yeah, we thought it would slow down. But I think what you said is absolutely right. He has the knack of just getting involved, even when, you know, his stats might be slowing down. He just grinds points out and... I think from that perspective, you know, he's obviously slightly cheaper than the others as well. So I think I would go with Bruno. And the third one would be Kane. And there'd be two reasons for this. And I get your point on Son. But he has got, in 14 matches post-restart, 12 goals and 7 assists. I mean, it's even better when you just look at it from the start of this season. And his performance, I mean, he's probably had 3 10 out of 10 performances this season. He's been absolute. I mean, his performance against West Ham first half, he was defending, he's playing, you know, De Bruyne-esque balls, he's finishing, you know. I think the most pleasing thing for me was Spurs' second goal, Kane's first goal. It was very, very Harry Kane of old.
Yeah,
you know, get that shot off early. How many times have we seen him score where the keeper hasn't moved? And that was the goal that I thought. And he was unlucky not to get a hat-trick. He hit the post. He had a couple of other chances. So I think I'm really liking Kane at the moment. And I think the reason I would go with Kane is it allows a very easy Aguero switch. You know, when, because I think Spurs fixtures around game week 10, they get really tough, but they coincide with Aguero having a really, really nice run.
Yeah, they do. So from game week 9 onwards, for the next 8 weeks, Spurs have the worst fixtures in the league, according to our fixture ticker, and Man City have the best. So you couldn't ask for a better time to switch there.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, but then, you know, if he's continuing the form and he's keeping this up, I mean, those sort of matches potentially could suit Spurs, particularly with the Mourinho counter-attack style.
But this is where I think we'll wait and see. Son's a better pick, because you could probably afford to keep in Son and have Aguero. So, but anyway.
Well, that's my plan. I'm going to ditch one of them for whether it's Aguero or Son, because you could go Son to Pulisic, for example. So I think there's, I think they'd be the three that I would go for. It would leave me without City short term, but I'm not too bothered by that. But until their fixtures turn. You can't have everyone, can you? So
Of course you can.
Yeah. You know, there are always going to be players that you want to have that score well.
I mean, we talk about Spurs fixtures turning. You know, I was on this very podcast this time last week talking about how West Ham had the best defence in the league. I mean, seven big chances all season, and three of them were against Spurs. You know, the opposition that West Ham have faced is not, other than Spurs, is not exactly, you know, a walk in the park either, right? So I think Mourinho has got them doing something special this season. You know, they've faced Arsenal, Wolves, Leicester. So yeah, we've seen when Spurs fixtures turn, so we've got Man City, Chelsea. You know, I wouldn't exactly say their defences have been rock solid so far this season.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not too concerned about having a Spurs double up when they're in this sort of form. The only one concern I have with Spurs is that in the start of the second half, they did kind of tail off a bit. And I'm not saying that led to them, you know, conceding those late goals, but, you know, it didn't really feel that they could kind of, and I don't know if it's some of the fixtures taken at all, but it really didn't, that intensity that they had in the first half didn't really continue. So I wouldn't want to see that going forward from them.
I think that was because it was 3-0 and they thought the game was won and they took their foot off the gas. And I think it was more that. And I do think as well, if we put it into a little bit of context, West Ham had a bit of a rally towards the end and it was an absolute wonder strike.
Yeah.
Got them. They can see they were a bit sloppy, but they should have really sought out that game. And, you know, Bale missed a sitter as well. That goes to 4-2. The game's over. So I just think a few things didn't go Spurs' way. But I think the first half,
Andrew, I know this doesn't fit into your game plan with your team, but I think people have been questioning, will Bale take some of the attacking assets away? And I think undoubtedly he will. You know, we've seen his quality, not just in the Premier League, but also, you know, in his snippets in the Champions League. I think that he's going to be taking away Son's attacking output from the counter-attack, because if you look at the speed of Bale, despite his age, you know, I think he's teetotal, he's one of the fittest players out there.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be taking, you know, Kane will be playing those through balls to Bale. So, you know, I think in terms of whose output he's going to be taking, I think he's going to be taking set pieces. So, you know, the occasional corner, definitely free kicks. And I think he's going to be taking away some of the counter-attacking goals.
It's just one to monitor, isn't it? I mean, like, I think, as you've said, if Spurs still look on fire and we're going into those tough fixtures, you may keep a double up. But I think looking historically at Kane, he's tended to score his hat tricks and his higher scores in the easier fixtures. But obviously, that said, if he's keeping up this level of form, then you potentially would keep him, because I think he can score against anybody at the moment.
Ironically, that Lanzini strike was reminiscent, Andy, I'm sure you remember this, of Bale's last season at Spurs, last time when he was calling for the ball in the, whatever it was, 88th minute, and it was 2-2, and he popped it in from 30 yards into the top corner against West Ham to win 3-2, and that was, you know, and that was his final season. He played for Spurs as well, so that was it was a bit of a have it back moment. But what a strike from Lanzini. You know, I like Lanzini. He hasn't really done it for a couple of seasons, but before that, he was a cracking player. And what a finish! You know, if you're a West Ham fan, that's dreamland, that kind of, you know, you'll live off that for the rest of the season.
It was literally the last kick of the game, wasn't it, as
it
well?
It was unreal.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have three community questions now. We will answer one each. Adam, it's your turn to choose first this week. Do you want to choose a question to answer?
So I've got at Nick Wright 80's question, which I'm going to go for. So who's the best 12th man insurance policy? It depends on your team setup and formation. I think if you're looking at a defender, I think there's a lot of good 4.5 million options. You know, maybe a Leeds guys. You know, we've mentioned, you know, Villa, but there's loads of good 4.5 million defenders. So I think you could go for a number, whether it's Villa, whether it's someone like Masuaku coming up, etc. Lamptey, anybody like that. I think if you're looking in midfield, I would say Suchet, but I think I would probably go Bissouma. And the reason I would is I think Suchet, he got a start because I just think he's returned. He's going to score, I think, in the next few weeks. And he's the sort of player that, because of how West Ham play, I think he can score against anybody because they're not, it's just about lumping balls into the box and crosses and getting. And I think with them playing three at the back, he's getting more of a license to get in there. So I think there's returns imminent for Suchet. So I'd probably have him as an 11th man, and then I think Bissouma's fine. He'll get you consistent two-pointers. You haven't got a headache with worried about bench, and you never know, might sneak an odd goal. And I think you've got Brewster if you've got, you know, if you pay him maybe 3-5-2. Worst case, he'll come off the bench. I don't think he's done enough to start on our FPL teams yet. I don't know if you guys disagree. So they'd be the ones that I'd go for.
I think Souček is a great option, you know, and I even think coming to this run for West, you know, for West Ham's run from game week 8 onwards, even against Man City on the weekend, you know, I just think he's been there and thereabouts, and he's been so close. He's had a lot of shots. I think he tried. Was it like an overhead kick against Spurs? He nearly connected with. He's so close, and I can see him scoring a few goals in the next few weeks. I think even if he was a little bit more, kind of, you know, 5.5 or something like that, I think I'd still be interested, you know, in their run that's coming up.
I agree. I think my tactic if I had Suchet would be to have the extra big hitter and use him as a fourth midfielder or fifth, depending on the formation you're playing, and then have that extra big hitter. Because I think, like you, because his goals will come off corners and crosses in the box, it's going to be so difficult.
Cool, yeah.
They might not come in the easy games, exactly. They might come in the tougher ones. So,
okay, Andy, you're next. Which question would you like to take?
Yeah, I'll take Rich Clark's question, which is obviously he's also a fellow podcaster with us sometimes. I think, yes, undoubtedly, this is the season to take early hits. You know, we talked about it before. I think I've taken 3 hits already, which is, I think, what I might have taken over the last 2 seasons combined.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, living by that methodology. I think with, you know, we've seen it in the Champions League, and a lot of these players that are in our teams are playing in the Champions League this week. We've seen Hakimi and Gnabry for Inter and Bayern Munich go down with COVID, you know, positive tests, although I think both of them were asymptomatic, thank God. But I think, you know, that could easily happen to any player in our teams, certainly the Champions League ones or the ones playing in the Europa League. So, you know, you may need to be taking hits to remove them. And as we saw last week with, you know, Spurs, people who moved took the hit to bring in Kane and captain them, it paid off. So, you know, I think while the goals remain and, you know, and also I think that the wild card is going to be incredibly valuable coming into this 18-19 you know, game week situation. So, you know, I'm certainly on the lookout to hold that wild card, although my finger has been hovering closer to the button, you know, especially as one of my favorite players like Aguero starts coming back and Kane starts firing, and then you've got, you know, you look at Brighton up against West Brom this week.
Yeah.
You know, you start looking at Mopé and Trossard's, you're like, you know, I really want them in my team. And then Pulisic coming back, of course, although he hasn't looked great. But, you know, you start seeing these players coming back that you've been waiting to watch, waiting to bring into your team. And you know that you can just press that button and just bring them all in at once. But anyway, to answer the question, yes, undoubtedly for me, I've taken more hits this season than I have over the last 2 years. And I think this is the smart way of playing early this season. And I'm not even talking about price rises, just playing for the fixtures form and if you have a COVID situation with one of your players.
I think you mentioned a really good point about for anybody that's still got their wild card and saving it for game week 16. And that's a strategy that I've got in, at the moment. The only minor worry I have, and we were messaging in our group chat with Ben Krellin and Tom from Who Got the Assist, would be, because I think they're on along the similar lines, is will we 100% know the fixtures for 18 and 19 in game week 16? Now, I think we probably will do, because I think game week 16 is December the 28th, and then it's exactly 2 weeks later, game week 18. So you would hope that they would be released. But I do think it's worth urging, and letting people know that it is possible you could save your wild card all the way and then we're still none the wiser. And that would be, I don't know what I'd do in that situation. So I think it's worth mentioning to people, it can be an incredible advantage if we get the fixtures before, just before game week 16. What an advantage that will be. It would set up a huge bench boost for 19, but there's probably about a 10% risk that we won't be any the wiser, and then we could end up wasting our wild card.
Agree. Yep. I'm probably a bit less hit happy than you, Andy, and I never ever thought I would say that, but I do think, there's just an example, there's been probably, I would guess, a fair few instances this weekend actually just gone on game week 5 where people would take out Werner for a hit, take out Jimenez for a hit, just to try and get on the kind of latest craze. I think there probably is a balance to be had in terms of just trying to jump on, we've seen it over the years, haven't we? The kind of short-termism in just looking 1 week ahead almost, look to next week, take a hit, who's good next week. And over the season, if you're taking 40 points worth of hits, are you really getting that back? If you can hit one or two really nice ones because, they're absolutely needed, I do agree with it. But I think taking hits every week, personally, I don't think is the right answer. I say that, I'm behind you in our mini leagues at the moment, so who am I to speak? And I've used my wild card. But I'm not, maybe not as hit happy. I think on the weekend we did start to see the very first small kind of green shoots of regression potentially in defence, especially on the Monday night. There was one goal scored in injury time in two games in a season where every game was averaged, what was it, over three goals or something stupid like that. So I'd personally just be a bit more careful, but Andy's finished third, so I'd go with Andy.
No, I think I don't get me wrong, I don't want to take a hit every week, and I'm certainly not advocating that. I think there's a danger that when they start to work like this week, with a lot of people who brought in Kane are probably thinking, right, this hit thing starts to work. I can bring in a player captain him for a -4, because then you just end up in a situation where you just, your team value just, not value, you just die slowly because you're taking -4 points every week, and they're not all going to work. But certainly if you've got, the likes, I would imagine a common transfer this week was Jimenez to Kane, and where you've got a player that potentially doesn't look as great and certainly isn't posting as great stats as Kane, and you've got that switch with potentially, equal sort of fixture difficulty, I think it's a nice early season punt to do to keep your wild card intact.
And that's the exact move. I turned down this
same
weekend.
Here.
I turned it down, but I do like the look of him and his moving forward. And I did have Son. So anyway, on to the third question, which was off Steve at FPL Fairy. So for someone badly needed a defensive reshuffle, top three defenders to bring in and hold on the wild card, exclude the Liverpool boys. So I've had a bit of a quick think, and I can probably think of two. So we've mentioned already, actually, but Creswell for me from game week 8 onwards. So they've got Liverpool in 7, but after that, their fixtures, especially at home, they've got some incredible fixtures. Their defensive stats have been really good. He has got, a wicked cross on him. He also, scored a couple of direct free kicks over the seasons as well. So I think Creswell looks a fantastic option. He'll be coming into my team definitely in game week 8, if not before. And the other one, we've mentioned Konsa, and the fixtures. I'm just looking at their fixtures again. So I'm just looking from game week 6 onwards. So they're home to Leeds, home to Southampton, then, away to Arsenal. You can play them or not if you want. They're then home to Brighton, they're then away to West Ham, they're then home to Newcastle, away to Wolves, then home to Burnley, away to West Brom, home to Palace. Those fixtures are just completely, completely unrivaled, especially at home where you'd look to play him every week. So I think they're two In terms of the third one, I still think Robertson, you know, despite all the chat earlier, is still a superb option. You know, I think he's only, you know, he's since lockdown. I'm not sure what's happened with Trent, because for two seasons he's been absolutely sensational. So I'm not sure why he's going further back, why Robertson has taken his free kicks, because Trent's delivery of the last two seasons, it's probably fair to say, have been one of the best in the world, never mind the Premier League. So really, you know, really surprised. But, you know, for Robertson's view, I think it's good. I think Castagna at Leicester, I know they've got some defensive problems at the moment, but I think he looks a really good player, very attacking. And their fixtures are pretty good from around game week 10 onwards. They've got like Fulham, Sheffield United, Brighton. Oh, he'd be my third. Have either of you got a kind of third in mind there to help out, Steve?
I think Chilwell, possibly.
Oh, he was the one I was in my head. I didn't say.
Yeah, that. I think he's looked. I think particularly how Chelsea set up last night with Mendy in goal, or maybe they'll, you know, throw Cech in, but that is definitely not going to be Kepa. I think he's looked quite. He's looked very, very attacking, and I think he looks decent. I like all the ones you mentioned. I really like the Creswell shout, and I think you could bring him in for the Liverpool game, because I just think, well, where do West Ham score from? Crosses. You know, Moyes just loves throwing crosses in the box, and I think for the likes of Suchek, and his delivery is brilliant, isn't it, Creswell?
It is.
So, you know, and I like the way that they sort of robbed it a little bit from Sheffield United, but he ventures forward and supports Matuaki on that left-hand side. So he gets into some really good crossing positions. So I think for 4.9 million and the run of fixtures they've got coming up, if they persist with that setup, and it is possible they may change it for the easier fixtures and go four at the back, but if they persist with that setup, which then I think Creswell is just a brilliant option.
Alexander-Arnold down to Creswell for me, maybe next week, potentially. We'll see, which releases, you know, a lot of funds, which is going to allow me to get in those premiums we mentioned earlier. Okay, so talking of teams, we now have Andy's team up on screen for our YouTube viewers. Andy, could you run through your team and your thoughts?
Still got McCarthy in goal. Another reason I might want a wild card early. Trent, Alexander-Arnold, Ayling, Sice at three at the back. And I've got Podence, another reason I might want a wild card. Although he did look good, actually.
He was unlucky on the weekend, I thought.
Yeah, it's with Traore there, you know, Neto's playing amazingly well. I thought his box-to-box performance was absolutely incredible. Yeah. You know, the fixtures look good for Wolves. I'm just not so sure on game time for Podence. But anyway, Podence, Son, Salah, who's got the armband. You boys will be happy to know. As non-Salah owners. Sterling and Bissouma starting against West Brom, fixture there, and actually he's quite dangerous, I think, from these long-range shots. And Calvert-Lewin, and then my one transfer for the week so far is Jimenez up to Kane. So, you know, I did consider, well, actually I'd already taken a minus four last week, but I didn't expect Spurs to, you know, demolish that West Ham defence so quickly, last week. But anyway, it happened. And, you know, I think looking at Kane passing all the eye test, you've already talked about it, passing the eye test, the stats are off the charts. I think it's just smart to have him in almost, as I say, fixture, you know. I know Burnley is potentially quite a tough fixture for them away, but I really do think that the form that he's showing, you've really just got to have him in. So I've taken one transfer so far, Jimenez to Kane.
Close are you to wildcarding? Because I think there's a strong case here. I think if you're starting Bissouma...
he's saying your team's bloody rubbish, Andy. That's what he's saying.
Basically, he is, yeah. Well, I mean, I've got Brewster in there. So Brewster could come in. You know, I think he's performed pretty well. But Liverpool away, you know, we just talked about how defences might normalise. So, you know, I think overall, if you look at the bench, I've got Brewster, Walker, Peters and Justin. So it's not a complete disaster zone that starting 11 might highlight. But, you know, I think Bissouma's goal threat is definitely, you know, he's already scored one this season.
That's a snippet, Andy, there. I'm Bissouma's goal threat. We're going to play that back at the end of our season in our clips.
When he scores a brace. Yeah. No, this is just, obviously this is still a draft, but I've got the armband on Salah and I've got some decisions to make over the likes of Justin, Podence, Brewster and Bissouma.
I'd probably start Brewster over Bissouma personally, because I just think from a motivation point of view, going back to Anfield, he's going to be motivated. And I just think you'd expect him to. I'd be more surprised if Basuma scored than I would be if Brewster scored. But that's just my view.
Okay.
But I would wildcard in your position.
Harsh, Adam. Okay.
I'm holding strong.
onto Adam's team then. Adam, could you read your team out for our podcast listeners?
So I've also got McCarthy in goal. I've got the same back line as Andy, and I too have Trent, Sace, and Ayling. In midfield, I've got Son, Mane captain, Foden, and James Rodriguez. And up front, I've got Kane, Calvert-Lewin, and Jimenez. I don't think I'm going to do anything this week, and I intend to probably make 2 to 3 changes next week, getting rid of Trent, Jimenez, and Foden. But I think with the extra transfer, I can do something a little bit more exciting. So I think the only one that I would look at this week is maybe Foden to Barkley, but I'm not convinced Barkley's the right filler option. So I think everything points towards holding. I think Foden's been benched for tonight, so I suppose that's encouraging. He's more likely to start the weekend. So he's very capable. Had 2 big chances the weekend. So I don't really want to take out Jimenez or Trent for their fixtures this weekend. I think Trent's got a perfect defensive fixture. Jimenez, Newcastle at home, they're conceding a lot at the moment. They look absolutely terrible. So I will stick with Jimenez.
I don't know. I think if I was you, I'd be wildcarding.
By chance. I'm happy with my team. I'm sticking it out to 16. I'm going to stick it out to 16 and then we'll find out. We don't know anything and I've wasted my wild cards. So.
Salah's obviously, Salah versus Mane, that's going to, you know, but to be fair, you've been backing Mane over Salah for many years. So.
I actually don't think there's that much in it. And I think this season, I've spoken, you know, and I think a lot of people think I don't like Salah. That isn't true at all. But I think Mane can match him, and it's just tough to call when that will be. I mean, he seems to be getting more chances centrally, and he's been getting more big chances in open play than Salah. But we know how ruthless Salah is, and I think it could go either way. But I just don't think there's any. I don't really see making a transfer to swap it over, because if you do that, we all know Mane will get a haul then. So I'm going to brave it. I think I will captain Mane as well.
I think that the game week one Salah haul kind of exaggerates the whole Salah and Mane argument this season. Obviously, he scored the hat-trick.
Yeah, it does.
Mane blanked, right? Aside from that, I think they've been, you know, pretty much the same. Obviously, Mane was missing when Salah scored the brace against Villa. But I think other than that, it's been fairly, you know, it's been fairly close. I think one slight other point, which may be interested or not, I believe Milner, did he start this evening for Liverpool? But if Milner does start to play to bring some more defensive assurance, you know, to Liverpool's play while Van Dijk is out, I wonder if he takes penalties off Salah. I'm not sure, but it's just...
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I don't know if Salah has cemented himself as the number one penalty taker now. I think he might have done. Yeah. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that does happen. But the other option I could do, and I haven't ruled this out, is captaining Kane. And I know a lot of people have talked about Burnley's, you know, defensive stats, but there was the same with West Ham the week prior. And I think Kane has got, he's done quite well at Turf Moor before. He's done quite well against Burnley, I believe. So I think he got a hat trick there not too long ago. So I haven't ruled that out. And although this shouldn't factor in, it is quite nice going into your Monday games, Monday night football, thinking, yes, I've got my captain haul to come, particularly in the unlikely event that Salah and Mane don't haul.
I can't believe you've got Bissouma on your bench. He's Andy's vice, and there he is on your on your bench.
Well, exactly. Look at the quality of my team. I'm quite happy with my team. You know, if I can bench Bissouma,
indeed.
I think he's the perfect bench player, because you can just rely on him for realistically 2 points, unless he's going to do like, you know, karate kick on. Was it Jamal Lewis?
I actually had him in my team when he got sent off.
Okay, so onto my team. So I've got Martinez in goals, obviously. He's on fire. Really, really pleased to have Martinez in goals.
Yeah, good choice.
I've got Sice in my team, who I benched this weekend, which was a shame. But I thought Sice looked really, really good. You know, I'm really hope he keeps his place. I think that Kilman, you know, could potentially threaten once Markkanen and Marsalis, but I'm not sure. But I think, you know, his finish, Saïss's finish, he was so unlucky it was offside. It was a great goal. And I've got the double up at the moment of Robertson and Trent, which for this game on the weekend, I'm very, very happy with. I then got a midfield of Son, Foden, Podence, who I do think was very unlucky. His shot right on the, you know, right on through of half time. If he'd have hit it anywhere except exactly where he hit it, I think it would have gone in. I just think the keeper kind of threw his hand up and palmed it away, but he hit it really well. And he would have also had the assist for Saïss's goal as well. You know, had
He was a lucky Podence. You
know, had that stood. Agree with Andy on his minutes. I think Neto is probably a better player and a better, I wouldn't say better FPL option, but he tends to get more minutes. And I've got Bruno Fernandes, who, you know, as we mentioned, could have scored a hat trick last weekend. I've then got Werner, you know, who came good finally on the weekend, who I nearly captained. I think we mentioned it last week, but in the end I put it on Son, you know, because obviously we had the late news on De Bruyne, so I took De Bruyne down to Son. I've got Jimenez, who I'm very, very happy to hold for the next two or three games, especially with the comments he made this morning about how, you know, he's finally now found his fitness, you know, after no pre-season. So the next two or three fixtures for him. And I've got Ollie Watkins, you know, we brought in last week. I like to try and get ahead of the curve. So even though Watkins, you know, he didn't score on the weekend, I'm really happy to have him for this, you know, upcoming run. So I've got one transfer. I don't have Salah, who, like I say, is pretty, you know, pretty frightening not to have him at the moment. My captaincy is on Bruno, home to Chelsea. So, you know, as we mentioned, Bruno always finds a way. Chelsea's defence is not the best. After Man United have just beaten Newcastle away, Paris Saint-Germain away, you know, I think Bruno, I expect points off Bruno. I'm just not sure. I'm scared of Salah. You know, this is the kind of absolute plum fixture of the season. We can see him scoring, you know, three or four bloody goals, can't you? And, you know, I'll be 40 points down before we start. But it's either going
to... Are you going to take a hit then?
Well, it's either going to be... I can take out... So I've got Burke on my bench. I can take out Werner and Burke and basically do a swap for a -4 for Salah and, you know, a 4.4. I can either do that or I can save. Or I was tempted to maybe look at a Brighton player. But looking at my 11 on paper, I think it actually looks like a really good team for this weekend. So I may stick it out, take two transfers into next week. And then, you know, as we mentioned earlier, potentially look to bring in, you know, look towards Creswell, potentially Antonio, maybe Grealish, and just leave Salah alone. It's just, this is why I hate the captaincy in FPL. It's the only thing about the game I don't enjoy is that, for me, it's too influential. Is that, you know, I'm happy with that team without Salah. If Salah hauls, which he is likely to haul, I'm 40 points behind before we start. So,
also, boys, I'm going to pull out one stat for you before we go. How many shots do you reckon Jimenez had, and how many shots do you reckon Bissouma had in game week 5?
In the last game week. So last game week. Well, I think Bissouma, I think, had 3 or 4. Jimenez had 2 off the top of my head.
It's actually 5-2 to Bissouma.
5-2.
Let's go with that then. If you've got Jimenez, bench him.
Exactly. All you need to do is bring in Bissouma.
I'm going to have to change it. I'm going to play Bissouma and bench him.
Bring in Bissouma. Bring in Bissouma for Burke. No, joking aside, I think, you know, that team looks good. The one question mark you've got is a similar one to me over Podence.
I'm quite high with Podence this week, actually. You know, I think...
Listen, he looked good. I just don't think his minutes are secure, and I don't even think his start is secure. I think...
I wouldn't ditch Podence, I think.
I get it.
It's a timing thing. I think same with Trent. I think Newcastle have been so leaky that, you know, he could actually do okay this weekend. There is always the risk with minutes, but he's 5.5 million. You'll get some game time against a leaky Newcastle.
But then if he doesn't start, then who have you got coming on? I mean...
But I think he'll come on, though, won't he?
He'll come on anyway, you know. I'm not really bothered. You know, Mitchell played the last game. Burke, I'm not bothered. James may play, he may not play. I mean, you're talking a point or two there anyway, right? So I'm not overly bothered. My dilemma is whether to get Salah in for a hit to, like, cover the captaincy, which, for me, I'm covering the captaincy 4 points behind. It seems a bit of a negative move.
Agreed.
Or I go for it, a captain Bruno, who I think will score points. Hope he can cover Salah's points. I've got Jimenez and Werner, you know, who are differentials now, really, you know, up against Calvert-Lewin, you know, and Kane, etc. So I've actually got Robertson and Trent, who, you know, are playing the same team that Salah is playing as well. So, you know, I'm tempted to hold and then try and transform my team a little bit moving forward. It's brave, you know, it could absolutely fall on its backside, and I'm 40 points behind. If I can hold my own, I think I'm in a good spot moving forward.
I think Son is somebody you should consider for captaincy as well, looking at your team. Maybe. And I understand a lot of people are a bit negative about Burnley, but I think the away matches this season, Spurs have been exceptional. No, and I think he might get some, where he's really good, he's good at running in behind. And a lot of people emphasise on that. But where Son is quite good is he's in tight spaces in and around the edge of the box. If you think back to the Newcastle game where he played half a game, he had two shots and, you know, hit the bar and hit the post. So I think out of your team, I would probably go with Son. I think Bruno's hauls have typically come away from home, and he could do well. They'll probably get a penalty anyway. So, you know, they get one every game. So there's no reason to think that they won't against. But I would definitely not bring in Salah for a -4. Or I just don't think it's worth it. I think you've been very clear with what you think you should do in the plan, and I think you've got just be strong and stick to it. Don't have FOMO and keep giving.
I agree. And with Son as well, obviously, you know, he scored the goal of the season against Burnley last year, didn't he? When he picked the ball up on the edge of his own box and run through. So our final team review this evening is for Twitter follower at FPL Ray Gunner's team, who retweeted our podcast tweet with his team. Just a reminder to all that if you want the chance to have your team reviewed, then you need to do the same next week. So his team is, he's got Ryan and Steering goals. He's got Alexander-Arnold, Robertson, Aylin, Taylor and Johnson as a back five. He's got Salah, De Bruyne, Foden, Soucek and Bissouma, the legendary Bissouma. And he's got Werner, Adams and Jimenez. His team's got a bit of a retro feel to it, you know, a kind of game week three sort of retro feel to it. He's got two free transfers and a problem, no Everton or Spurs. So I don't think Everton are a priority personally this weekend. Spurs maybe. Andy, can I come to you first on what you think of that team and what kind of moves you should be looking at?
I think the team is pretty solid. It's, you know, certainly I actually was looking at a similar team to this kind of towards the start of the season. I think the obvious pick is probably to get Kane in. And you can probably do that via Robertson down to 4.5 or 4.6 if you want someone like Konza, for example, and then take Jimenez up to Kane. So, you know, I think that's, I know we just talked about Sheffield United being very weak going forward. So therefore you're looking at, you know, potential Liverpool clean sheet there and obviously it's an attacking return from Robertson or Trent. But let's be honest, they haven't looked so secure, and if you can use those funds, as we discussed earlier, to upgrade some of those strikers, then you know, to a form player, then it's a no-brainer for me. I do take the point that you guys are holding Jimenez because of the Newcastle fixture, but you know, I did think about holding him as well and not moving for Kane. But when I look at his positioning against Leeds, and I know that Bielsa is quite a tactical manager, so it could have been to take him out of the game and make him drop deep, but I wasn't that impressed with Jimenez's positioning, and the stats kind of show that out as well. So yeah, I'd be looking to take Robertson or Trent out to take Jimenez up to King.
Oh, wow. I think Jimenez is another player, a bit like Bruno. He grinds points out, I think, and he does it. He's just so consistent. So he doesn't haul that often, but if Wolves are going to score, he's going to be involved. So I don't know if I just wouldn't lose him against Newcastle. I just, you know, I agree Wolves haven't looked that expansive, but just Newcastle are terrible. They're really, you know, really, really, they concede a lot of shots as well. So I'd probably keep him. I think looking at it, I think he's got KDB, hasn't he? Yes, still, is that right? Yeah. I think there's a natural switch there. Whether you go to Fernandes, whether you go to Sterling, whether you go to Son, I think you've got to do that. If you go to Son, you've then got the money to maybe go to upgrade and bring Kane in. But I think the priority should be a Spurs attacker, and I think KDB to Son is the easiest way. And then I'd probably keep the two Liverpool defenders. And then, I mean, the alternative is he could then do, if you want, if he's looking at Liverpool and Everton, he could probably do KDB to Son and then maybe Adams to Calvert-Lewin. I think they'd have the funds to do that, maybe.
Yeah, you would. I think what I'd do De Bruyne to Son, but I would probably look at then Bissouma to potentially Barkley or Grealish.
Yeah,
I know he hasn't mentioned Villa there, but you know, I think Villa's fixtures over the next few. I think you both have good fixtures. It means you can keep Robertson and Jimenez for the next nice game. But there's a few options there for you. Hopefully, Ray Gunnar 49 that has helped you out a little bit there. So finally, we're going to take a quick look at the top of our at FFH underscore podcast mini league. And in 10th place, we've got Dan O'Connell. In 9th place, James Dayton. 8th place, Lou Binks. 7th place, DT. 6th place, Dan Mazio. 5th place, Down Les Brand. 4th place, Wilmore Peterson. 3rd, Saurabh Magodia. 2nd, Oli Rantala. And 1st, Tony Scarpenhead. There's a lot of new names there this week. I don't know whether some others have fallen off. There's a few high scores. Ollie in second scored 100 points. So I'm not sure whether the ones who were up there have, you know, had lesser scores. But better in top, Tony Scarpenhead scored 74 points this week. He had Lloris in goals, Alexander-Arnold. He had Sice's 7 and only Lamptey 2, Justin 2. Then he had Rodriguez 4. But then he had Salah captain, Son 13, Calvert-Lewin 6, Jimenez 8, and Kane 16. So above average score there, obviously, but you know, nothing sensational. But he's actually ranked around the top 1,000 in the world, which obviously at this point is a very, very good place to be. So congratulations there, Tony. Wonderful performance from you so far. So that is it from us for this week. Many thanks as usual to Adam and Andy and to our loyal watchers and listeners for their great questions and comments. As usual, we really, really do appreciate it. Adam, where can people get hold of you?
On Twitter, @Hopcroft13.
Fantastic. And Andy, where can people get hold of you?
On Twitter, FPL Fantasy Guide.
And my Twitter handle is @Fergie222. So this video recording will be on the Fantasy Football Hub YouTube channel. The podcast version is available on all major podcast platforms. If you like what you watch, please press the like button and remember to subscribe to the channel in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. If you enjoyed your listen, please rate the podcast and leave a comment. Our handles on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok are @FFH_HQ. Our podcast Twitter handle is @FFH_podcast. Please feel free to follow and ask any questions. Our website is fantasyfootballhub.co.uk, where you'll find everything you need for fantasy football all under one roof, including player comparison tools, the fixture ticker, Optostats, top player team reveals, points prediction tool, and much, much more, all of which is on our new free app, which you will find wherever you get your app, searching for Fantasy Football Hub. To join the tens of thousands of other fantasy managers, sign up to the Hub to use all our amazing resources, some of which were demoed on this podcast for our YouTube watchers. Just click the top link in the description. You will not regret it. We will be back next week, preview in game week 7. Good luck all. See you then. Stay safe and good night.